First Timothy chapter 4, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. So 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we can be together this morning to gather here to learn of you and to have fellowship with one another, Lord. And we just pray you would bless this time, Lord. May your presence be with us this day, Lord. We pray that you would teach us, Lord, from your word. Help us to understand these truths, Lord, and that they would become real in our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have much today regarding exercise, how important it is. Pretty well, any kind of health magazine or anything that they'll speak of the importance and the benefits of exercise. And we would have to agree, as we look at it, there's many benefits to the body of exercise. It builds muscle. It helps us to develop strength and stamina and endurance. And as we exercise and our bodies are made stronger, it enables us to do things which we might have thought we would never be able to do or never be able to do again. And with exercise, we know that it has benefits, but often what we do is we struggle to find motivation to either to start exercise or to persist in it. That it's certainly easier to just sit on the couch and not get up to run a mile. We understand that exercise always pushes us beyond what we might be comfortable with. Physics teaches us the principle of inertia, that a body of rest tends to stay at rest, and that's, we can certainly find that that's to be true with ourselves. And so the challenge is kind of getting over that inertia that we have. But once we do so, once we get active, we start to see the benefits and we recognize the value of persisting in it. Now from this passage in 1 Timothy 4, we see the statement is made that bodily exercise profiteth little. That it has some profit, we recognize that, it has some benefit, but in light of eternity, its benefit is of necessity limited. That our body is not who we are, it is merely the shell in which our soul and spirit resides until we pass from this life and one day we'll have a new glorified body. That it is wise for us to take care of our bodies so that we would not be hindered in enjoying the life that we have now, and also that we would not be hindered in our ability to serve God and minister to one another while upon this earth. But for bodily exercise to be our sole focus or even our primary focus, we would, as believers, recognize to be incorrect. But it is good for us to always be seeking to improve ourselves. Physical exercise can be a part of that, but it is only a part. I think we would recognize it's also important for us to seek to exercise ourselves mentally as well, that we want to challenge our minds, we want to expand our vocabulary even, we recognize with that it's a beneficial thing for us. But from an eternal perspective, it is most important for us to be exercised spiritually. As it says here, to be exercised unto godliness. that as believers we have new life in Christ, and in that new life we need to grow, we need to mature. And part of that growing and maturing process necessarily requires an exercising of ourselves in spiritual things. And just like a person who exercises physically has signs of improved health and renewed vigor, so as believers, if we begin to exercise ourselves spiritually, naturally we show signs of spiritual growth, and specifically of this idea of godliness. That's the goal and focus of our Christian life, is to become godly, to become Christ-like, to be a testimony, to be a witness of Christ, not only by our words, but by our actions, by our conduct. But we realize with the whole process of exercising spiritually, that is not something that comes naturally. And certainly when we're exercising ourselves under godliness, that's not what comes to us. That we always have kind of that old nature that wants to live its own way, and we want to transform our lives so that we become like Christ. But we realize that becoming like Christ is definitely a goal that we need to pursue, even though it's not something we're used to, not something that we're going to naturally have an aptitude for, that we want to be exercised in that and be drawn more and more to become like Him. So in this thought, we could say that the idea of godliness is essentially like the big picture of what we want to achieve as a whole. But there are various facets of that. And in today's message and messages to come, we want to examine several different facets of what the Bible speaks of and see how we need to be exercised in each of them. That just as in the physical realm, that a person might do various different exercises, whether it's sit-ups or push-ups or other different activities, that they're designed maybe to focus on different muscles, but they're all done to improve a person's health as a whole. And we want to be complete in Him. We want to not have anything lacking. And so spiritually, we want to see in each area what we need to be exercised in and develop spiritual muscle. And that's going to help us, our lives as a whole. It's going to affect so many other areas of our life and bring us closer to fulfilling this big picture of godliness that we want to demonstrate in and through our lives. And as with physical exercise, there is often that struggle for motivation. We know that being exercised spiritually will be beneficial. We see the promise given in this passage here that godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. That it's going to have a benefit to us both now and in eternity for us to be exercised in spiritual things. But yet we realize that we remain our own worst enemy, that the flesh wants to hold us back, the flesh wants to keep us with what we're comfortable with, but the Holy Spirit and the Lord Himself wants to have us go ever onward. He wants to advance us in becoming more like Him. Unfortunately, and it's because our Heavenly Father has our best interest at heart, He wants to help us in this whole process, that He's begun a good work in us, and He wants to continue it, and He will continue it until the day of Jesus Christ, that in His wisdom and His love for us, that He provides in our lives various opportunities in which we can be exercised in spiritual things. And there might be certain facets that He wants to work upon, that He wants to see developed and strengthened, that He would be, in a way, our coach, our trainer, and that He's bringing these things into our lives for a reason, that because He's wanting to help us. He's giving us an opportunity to be exercised spiritually. And we often lack the awareness of God's hand, and when things happen, we just, Lord, why did this happen? Is this, I don't understand this. Why do you allow this to happen to me? And we recognize that when we ask questions like that, God doesn't always answer us, and of course He's under no obligation to do so, because He's God, and we have to, He is the potter and we're the clay, that He wants to mold us in a certain way, and we have to humble ourselves under His hand. But I think if we seek him and we do humble ourselves, he starts to give us kind of an understanding that, well, the Lord brought this into my life because there's something he's trying to help me with, something he's trying to help me to grow in, something that I need to learn, an area that I need to be spiritually exercised in. That even though at the time it may not seem to be very good, very pleasurable, we realize that this event or this circumstance is for my benefit. And so it's best that I have an awareness and I try to be a quick learner, that I engage in the exercise so that I may develop and grow in him. So if we take this idea of spiritual exercise as a backdrop, today what I want to focus upon is just one aspect of this godliness that we need to be exercised in, and that is the idea of grace. That grace we understand to be God's unmerited favor, that where it is bestowed upon us through Christ, of how he became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, that it's a graciousness. That grace we understand to be a step beyond mercy. Mercy we understand is not giving someone what they deserve, and we find that in that though we were sinners and we were deserving only of death and hell, that God showed mercy, and that in Christ we can have forgiveness of sins. But grace is giving us what we don't deserve. And we recognize that not only did he forgive us of our sins and deliver us from hell, that Christ also adopted us as his children. He gives us of his Holy Spirit. And then he's going to allow us to spend eternity with him in heaven. That is his grace, that it is so much beyond. And we recognize the greatness of his grace and how there's the one verse where it says that where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. And we are so thankful for that grace that has been given to us through faith in Christ. We understand that grace is the entire basis of our salvation, that by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And we see in Romans 5 verse 2, it speaks as well of this grace wherein we stand. That's how we begin our Christian life, and then that's how we stand, and how we're able to resist the devil and prevail against him. It's through that grace, through that armor that he gives us. And then we see as well from 1 Peter 3 and verse 18, and it says that we're to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that it's something that we're to grow in, that we're to continue in and develop. And so since grace we see is so interwoven in all parts of our life as a believer, that it's vital for us that we learn to be exercised in it. And so for today I want to look at three ways specifically in which God seeks to have us exercised in grace. First, we want to understand that God's grace is not something that he imparts to us just at salvation and then at any other time. That we realize that once we are saved by his grace, that's really when the flow of grace really gets started. And he wants to continue that imparting of grace to us on a daily basis to strengthen us to live the Christian life. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, it speaks there of Christ being our great high priest, that he's tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. In verse 16 it says, "Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." That the throne of God, the throne of our Heavenly Father, is called the throne of grace. That it is the source from which we get it. That we realize that we can't live the Christian life in our flesh. That we can't get victory over sin by our own efforts. That if we try to, it will only be a continued struggle of trying and failing and then asking for His forgiveness. And we know that God is a merciful God. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But that is not the place that God wants us to continually find ourselves in, that we're not to live by mercy, we're to live by grace. And that's one step beyond mercy, that we need to become exercised in this, that we recognize when we are in need of grace, that we are in a place, time of temptation, a time of trial, a time of difficulty, that it seems overwhelming, that we call unto the Lord and ask for His grace because we're in need of it. And really, as we start to get in the Christian life, we realize it isn't just in the crisis times that we need His grace, it's in all the time that we need His grace, that it becomes something that we learn to ask Him. We see our need of it, we go to Him in prayer, requesting His grace to help in time of need, and then we have that prayer answered, and then we are divinely enabled to overcome and have victory through Christ. And in this, we recognize that God wants to help us to be exercised in grace. And so He's going to place us in situations that are going to seem overwhelming. And we wonder, why would He do that? But it is so that we can come trained in this pattern to look to Him for that way of escape, that way of victory, so that we can obtain that grace to help in time of need. Doesn't it happen so often that when you're under pressure, you're under stress, there are time constraints, that always it seems that something else kind of gets thrown in the mix, that you're already kind of, you're just going to make the appointment, but then what happens, you're driving and you're just going to make it on time, and here all of a sudden there's unexpected road construction and you have to wait, and it's, how are we going to get through that? Or perhaps it's something that you try to head out as a family and you're starting to get the kids dressed and ready, and you get to the end and then the oldest one comes in and they've just been playing in the mud and falling down, so you kind of have to start over, and that things happen like that. And it can be to us a time of frustration, a time where we're pushed to our limit. But we want to look at it. This is an opportunity to be exercised in His grace. That we say, Lord, I'm at the end. I can't handle this. I need Your help. I need You to give me patience, give me calmness. That we learn to cry out to God in that time. And as we do that, we find that He allows us to have a peace, to have a calmness, where He just takes it away, that it's not going to be a big issue anymore, that we can have that grace in that time of need, and we're able to overcome and continue to act the way that we should as believers. That it's something that it's not going to come naturally to us, but it's something that we need to be exercised in. And with each of these different things that happen, these times of stress, that the Lord is saying, I want to help you in this, but I need you to come to me to seek that grace in time of need. And it's here for you, and there's a bunch of it. It's much more than what you're going to need for this situation. So come unto me, and I can give it unto you. But secondly, we see as well from the scriptures that part of the idea of the grace that God bestows upon us in the Christian life is in terms of the spiritual gifts that He imparts to each of us upon salvation, to be used to honor Him and to edify the church as a whole. We see this spoken of in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 3. Paul speaks, he says, Romans 12:3, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. That Paul was given a grace, and it was a grace to speak unto them this thing. It says, for we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members everyone members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, and then it lists these different gifts and how we're to use them. And it's that idea that it's the grace that's given us, that the Lord gives us this grace to each of us, different gifts to be used for His glory and for the edifying of the body of Christ. We see in Paul in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 7 that he speaks of the grace that was given unto him, that he was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effectual working of his power. That he was given that grace. And that was his ministry, to be an apostle to the Gentiles. And we realize that none of us might have his ministry and none of us have the same ministry. But we recognize that each of us are given a gift. That sometimes it may be a gift of encouragement or exhortation, a gift of ministry or ability to help people, even a gift of giving. And there's many others mentioned that we can study through at some other time, but each we recognize from the Scriptures to be important, to be valuable, that God has given us an enabling from above to do a work for Him in others' lives. And because we've been given that grace, we don't want to squander the gift that's given. We want to make the most of it. And so thus, in this as well, we need to learn to be exercised in this grace that God has given us. And there's a lot today that's about finding what your spiritual gift is, that there's a lot of these different tests that you can take. Well, what is your spiritual gift? And so you can find that out. But to me, if you want to find out, I think that the best way to do it is this, that when you're amongst God's people and you're praying and you're seeking God's will, that the Lord will kind of give an awareness unto you of a need, that you'll kind of say to self, well, boy, that's a need that needs to be filled. Someone should do that. And the Holy Spirit just kind of nudges you and you say, well, you could do that. And part of you says, well, no, I couldn't do that. But he says, well, I've given you a grace for that, that you're aware of this need that no one else is, and I've made you aware because I want you to fulfill that. And so just so often by serving, that so often we find our real calling in life, that it happens almost by accident, that sometimes we, with these different tests, we get so convinced that it's a certain gift, or sometimes we want it to be a certain gift, so we kind of skew our answers to make that happen, but then we fulfill that and we find we're not happy, we're getting burned out. But when it's the grace of God that's given to us and we operate within that it's not going to bring us burnout, that it's going to be sufficient for what we're doing. It's going to fit because it's the Lord has placed us, each of us, in a body with the gift that He's given for a reason. And as we seek Him and we do it by His grace, that it's going to fit properly. And it's going to work as it should. That, again, that so often it's that challenge, there's that inner inertia to overcome. And often there's a fear that cripples us. Well, I can't do that. What if I make a mistake? But it's the idea, well, it's not you doing it. It's God's grace that's doing it. And that's, as you see, as you serve the Lord and you're being used as the Lord has gifted you, that you can see that it's basically a channel that God's using you, that it's not you that's doing it. You're just basically the tool in His hand that He's using you, and you're being a blessing to others, but you give the glory unto Him. And so may we do that. May we exercise ourselves in His grace through service. And as we're able to manifest that gracious gift that God has given us, that we find that we're used more of God and that we can be a blessing to others. But finally, I want to think of grace in these terms, that God has shown us great, abundant, amazing grace to us, that He has shown us great kindness. He has given us such abundant blessings when all that we deserved was His condemnation and wrath. That even different times in our Christian life when we stumble, when we fail, when we disappoint Him, that we kind of think, well, boy, I must be just kind of persona non grata with Him. I failed Him so much. But yet we see that He gives us goodness, that and it is His goodness so often that leads us to repentance, that when we're expecting His hand of judgment to fall, that instead He does something wonderful to us. That we as we have been given such grace and such greatness and in such measure, so we need to be exercised in giving that same grace to our fellow man, to one another in Christ, and to the lost that are around us. 1 Peter chapter 4, this statement is made, 1 Peter chapter 4, and verse 10, it says, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." That the word manifold gives the idea, it actually literally, it's the two words together, many folds. It's the idea of many in number, of numerous, that something that's exhibited in various ways and in various means. And certainly would say that's a fitting adjective to describe God's grace, that it's manifold grace of God. And we recognize the word steward, that a steward is someone who's been entrusted with the resources of another and has a duty to distribute provisions to those as needed. On a ship that they have a guy that's called the chief steward, and that's his job, that he's over in charge of what's the stores of the food and other things, and he makes sure everyone has what they need for the journey. And so you think of it, that we're to be good stewards of the manifold grace of God, that would we be a person wouldn't be a good steward if they were given an abundance of resources, but then they turned around and were very stingy in what they gave out. That just imagine if you had on a ship, like a cruise ship or something like that, where you had all these people and you had rooms full of food, but then you started just kind of rationing out portions, that you can only have this much each day, even though there's such an abundance, that wouldn't be a good stewardship of what's been given. And so when we think about in that way, that we've been given a whole bunch of grace, and so we need to give a whole bunch out, that we need to be a channel through which God's grace can flow to those that we interact with, our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, the lost around us, that that we look at, well, that person doesn't deserve grace, but that we understand that that's the whole idea of grace, is that no one deserves it. You can't give grace to someone that deserves it. That's the way that it is. That really, when someone is undeserving, that makes them a perfect candidate to receive it. And so we want to learn that, because the fact is that the Lord doesn't give His grace to any of us to deserve it, that it wouldn't be grace if it was, that none of us deserve it. And He imparts it so abundantly, and so we want to learn to impart it abundantly as well. That we want to look at people and see people that are in need of some grace, and we don't just give them a little bit, we give them more than they know what to do with, as God does unto us. That we see people and we look at people that they don't deserve it and that they haven't earned it, and that's the way this world works, that you give as it is in response, that it's always kind of tit for tat, eye for an eye, that there's always that kind of idea, well, there has to be justice, that if someone treats me bad, that I need to treat them bad. And usually it's always, we tend to go a little bit further in that. But that's not the way that we're to be as Christians, that we're to be exercised in grace, that even though that evil might be done against us, that we're not overcome with evil, but that we overcome evil with good. that is, Jesus spoke on the Sermon on the Mount that we're to love our enemies, we're to bless them that curse us, that we're pray for those that despitefully use us and persecute us, that we may be the children of our Father in heaven, that he shows his love even to those who don't deserve it, who will never respond to it. And so we want to be exercised in this, and God wants us to be exercised in this. So he's going to prevent us with events and opportunities in which we can be exercised in grace. Imagine, for instance, if you're at a restaurant that you made an order that you wanted a hamburger with fries and things, and you come back and here it's a veggie burger with a salad, that it's just your order is totally wrong, and you know that it is, and you can't believe how bad that they got it wrong, and so you're just ready to tell off the waitress, and you're definitely not giving a tip. But if we just calm down for a minute, we might notice that just by the look in the eyes of that waitress that there it's someone that's at the end of their rope. They've had a very bad day, which has been a part of an extremely bad month. That they're someone that's in need of grace. That imagine instead we know what we would typically do and what that person deserves, but then we think, well, what if I was to act differently? What if I was to show grace to this person? What if I thanked her, if I ate the food that I didn't want without complaining? And then after a few minutes, the waitress might realize the mistake she made and come to apologize and say, well, why didn't you say anything? You say, well, it looked like you're under a lot of stress and I thought it's close enough, I'll just eat it. And then as you leave a big tip, and then you leave a gospel tract with that we think of how powerful such action could be in that person's life to draw them unto Christ by being able to show grace to them when they don't deserve it. That sometimes when we're dealing, there's so often we have to get on the phone, we might have to deal with a bureaucrat, we might have to deal with a service personnel over the phone, and they've made an error that's affected us, and we want to give it to them with both barrels. But if we can quiet ourselves enough to hear the small voice of God that says to us, well, guess what? This is a perfect opportunity to show grace, to be exercised in grace, that we learn to rise above. We learn to show kindness. We learn to be gracious unto other people, that it can have such an effect. And we think as well at times in our life when someone has hurt us, when someone has wounded us deeply, they've said or done something that just cuts us to the core, that our response so often is to get bitter, to get unforgiving, and we withdraw because we don't want to get hurt ever again. And when we do that, it really helps no one. That it hurts many people. It speaks of a root of bitterness that when it springs up, that it defiles many. And we realize that it hurts ourselves most of all. But when instead we realize how many times that we've sinned against God, how many times we have hurt Him so deeply by our selfishness, by our thoughtlessness, and yet by His grace He forgives us. That He doesn't bring it up again, that He casts the sins behind His back, He casts them in the depths of the sea, that they're never to be brought back to remembrance anymore, that we recognize, well, I need to give that person of that grace that God has given unto me, that God has given me so much grace that I need to return it and give it out to others. And when we do that, when we learn to have forgiveness, and when a person realizes what they've done and sees how bad that they've hurt you, and they would not expect forgiveness, but yet they come to us and they find that they've already been forgiven, that it's already been passed over, that person is blessed and God is glorified. So in each of these three areas we want to realize that God wants us to be exercised in His grace. That it is never easy for us to do. It's not natural for us, but it's a whole part of the process of growing in the Christian life, of becoming like Him, of being drawn to that idea of godliness and Christ-likeness. And so even though it is not easy, if we overcome that inertia that we find within ourselves, if we learn to grow in Him, and we become exercised in these areas, then we see a development in our life, a greater joy in our life as we see God use us and use us to bless others, and we make progress in coming more and more like Christ. And so may the Lord help us in the weeks to come, that we would be aware of God's hand in our circumstances, that all these things that happen to us, that they're all meant for our good. They're all meant to make something out of us. And may we make the most of our opportunities that God gives us and exercise ourselves in grace, that others might be blessed not only in this life, but in the life that is to come. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just pray You would help us, Lord, to see Your hand, see what You want to do in us and through us, Lord. We pray You would help us to realize just how much grace You have given us, Lord, that we would show that same grace to others and be used of You, Lord. Just we pray for that grace that we need each day, and we just pray that You might use us for Your glory each day. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's we'll stand. We'll turn to one more hymn, number 326, More About Jesus, number 326.